Cinema Classics is brought to you in part by the Gateway Film Center, 1550 North High Street, located in the South Campus Gateway. For films and showtimes, go to gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. To listen to other shows, go to wcbe.org. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto, and this is Cinema Classics. And this week, John, I bring to you a special guest, a friend of mine, Tristan Seeger. He is an intern at CD1025 and a local artist. Mm. Yeah, so he's also a cinephile. So I'm always talking to Tristan about movies, and I figured he'd have a unique perspective to lend. And this week, we're going to talk about David O. Russell, who is a really dynamic director. He's having a great couple of years with The Fighter and this year, Silver Linings Playbook. And Tristan, tell me about, are you a fan of this guy or what?
Oh, definitely. I'm a huge fan, and actually a bigger fan than I ever knew, because I saw Silver Linings Playbook with my girl. Great movie to see with your girlfriend. Rom-com that men and women can both enjoy. But I went to see that, and then I wanted to look. It's been nominated for a lot of awards, so I wanted to see what else he had done. And it turns out a bunch of movies that I like. The Fighter was one that I didn't know was him. And
completely
then,
different from this movie.
Right, and then I Heart Huckabees.
Yep.
He did that too. Where did that come from?
Wow.
A really interesting movie. And then earlier, before that, he had Three Kings with George Clooney and Ice Cube, of all things, in a desert.
Mark Wahlberg again.
In a Desert Storm heist movie, which is terrific.
Yes.
But before that, David O. Russell made his mark with a little independent movie called Spanking the Monkey, in which this kid who stays home with his, he's home from college and he's living with his mom, and there's some strange relations there.
He has to stay home. He can't go back to college.
Spanking the Monkey, obviously a euphemism for spanking the zebra.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means.
We have a little incest going on.
No, it's a euphemism for masturbation. He spends a lot of time in his head, and he ends up in a tryst with his own mother.
Yes.
And he actually explores how that could really happen, and it's very disturbing, very dark comedy. Did you see that one, Tristan?
I think I saw that, but it's been a really long time, so I can't place any
specific
scenes.
I'm not sure your girlfriend
scenes.
Would have liked it.
No,
it doesn't play well with the girlfriend crowd. No, I don't know. It's a very unpleasant film to sit through.
But it is a good indication of the range of this director.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he has been all over the spectrum. Like I said, I Heart Huckabees is vastly different.
Weird film. Tristan, come on.
Totally.
I mean, there's
so
a reason it never made it.
Yeah. Well, The Fighter and Silver Linings Playbook, though, great movies. And the mark of a great director is that he takes these actors that we've seen and we know and shows a different side of them. He gets their best performance out of them, like Christian Bale in The Fighter.
Yeah.
Silver Linings Playbook, we had Bradley Cooper, who we had seen in things like The Hangover. And, you know, he's a pretty face. We saw him in The A-Team. But this movie showed him as an actor. It showed his range.
To your point, when I walked into Three Kings and saw 3-2-1, when I walked into Three Kings, I expected it to be a flop because George Clooney couldn't possibly play comedy. And he did it beautifully. And I suspect, after you talk, it's because of our director, David O. Russell.
He's a great director of actors. Tristan, like you just said, he really gets this very nuanced, kind of edgy performance out of Bradley Cooper. It's extraordinarily effective. It's great. I mean, and, you know, we mentioned I Heart Huckabees, John. You dismissed it, sort of. But I think that that's a movie that time will be kind to.
How long do you think?
I'm not sure. Maybe a couple more.
Maybe a couple more years.
No, but they're great. You know, at least at the very least, you see a director who's stretching himself, who's working, he's trying to get at something new and something different. And maybe he was in over his head a little bit. But here's what's interesting: is he comes out with Spanking the Monkey, follows that with Three Kings, follows that with I Heart Huckabees, and then just goes off the rails. Like, he went crazy during that movie. There was a well documented tirades and tantrums
Tomlin
that he was throwing.
Nose to nose with him on that, and published these YouTube clips from the set, and Russell just going off the deep end.
And then he couldn't get any financing. He was working on some other movies in between them, in between Huckabee's and The Fighter and couldn't get financed. You know, it was Mark Wahlberg who really finally had faith in him and had faith in his abilities and gave him the directing job on The Fighter.
Part of the reason I think that Wahlberg can be considered a fine actor, it would be because of Russell's tutelage, because he's been in at least three of his movies. And he did, as you said, very well in The Fighter. Although everybody thinks of Christian Bale, take a look at what Mark Wahlberg does in that movie.
Definitely, and I would wager that he doesn't need a lot of money to make a movie. I mean, he has been getting money for these big, big pictures, but he shoots in a way that it's almost like an indie film. He likes to hit on the thirds, and he just presents these angles that make it less important how like high budget the camera is, how much money he has to set up the shot and the lighting, but the way that the composition is set out in the scene is what's important.
Yeah, he's definitely bringing his independent filmmaker sensibility to these A-list Hollywood projects. Yeah. You know, he's clearly a fiercely intelligent guy. And I think with I Heart Huckabees, you know, he was probably reaching for something he was ill-equipped to give form to. But what's great when he takes a movie like The Fighter, which is essentially a boxing story, he turns that into a dysfunctional family comedy. Yeah. And then he takes this movie, Silver Linings Playbook, which could have been just treacly bullcrap in somebody else's hands.
Family.
Another dysfunctional family. And he turns it into a romantic comedy that we haven't seen in a long time, a romantic comedy that's smart, that's has some character development to it. I mean, you mentioned earlier, Tristan, that this is a rom-com that a guy can enjoy. Like, what does he do? How does he make that guy friendly?
Well, in a lot of ways, it's just a good movie, and you don't see that all the time anymore, especially with rom-coms. They're just making kind of cutesy things for people to enjoy who like that cheeky, over-the-top love. And that's not really what this is. I mean, it has this element of a guy who's broken down and then these people around him who are all broken in their own ways as well. And it really gets you deep into their story. It's easy for everyone to relate. And these camera angles suck you in, like I was talking about before, the way he shoots.
Yeah.
It's gritty. It helps you feel like you're the character. You can relate completely with him.
I think the term dramedy works very well here. It's not strictly comedy, although I see some screwball comedy traits in it. In the end, it's dramatic comedy, and that's what helps bring people like us in who like movies to enjoy it, even though it's a comedy, and I doubt if it'll win the Oscar for Best Picture for that very reason. But it edges closer because of that dramatic element.
Well, you know, we also mentioned his ability to pull these great performances out of actors. We can't forget to mention that this is probably the first great De Niro performance in maybe 15 years.
He's awakened
I'm not kidding. Yes, he has awakened him. I mean, De Niro is giving a performance here that I just feel he's invested in it. He's in a way that I haven't seen him. You know, De Niro's been picking up a paycheck for the last 15 to 20 years. I don't really think he's showed us anything since Heat. Michael Mann's crime movie with Pacino in the 90s.
Good.
De Niro is back in fine form. Did he get nominated for a supporting actor award or not?
For what?
For this, Silver Linings.
Yes.
Now, see, wouldn't that be something to see Robert De Niro come back and win a Best Supporting Actor and put him back on the path, back to, like, rehabilitating his legend, because it was just really thrilling to see that.
But in the end, I don't think he needs it.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I know it.
I mean, maybe, if not for Lincoln and Django, the supporting actors in those movies, out of this world.
Sure.
But yeah, I would agree. De Niro had a great performance. There's a scene where he's sitting on the edge of Bradley Cooper's bed. Just the relationship and the back and forth between him and his father and their combative natures.
They're both whacked out.
Yeah, their mental illness
father
is
father and son are right there. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that how those high tensions play out. Even though, like, De Niro's like yelling at him, "You're a loser. You ruined this for me." It still comes from a place of love and warmth.
Yep.
Like, that's how they communicate. You don't really see that, and that's what you're getting at, John. This is a comedy, but the comedy comes from these, recognizing real moments and real human interaction.
Oh, sure. And it's the difference between this and Hangover.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite obvious.
Gosh.
This is serious filmmaking.
Yeah. Oh, the difference between this and Hangover. Yeah. Vastly different. Bradley Cooper is an actor in this and not just a pawn or a piece.
Don't forget that Jennifer Lawrence is a player this year.
Mm-hmm.
She may win it.
She's a player almost every night in my dreams, actually.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and, most people's dreams, I think.
And
she's ridiculous, that girl. I cannot take my eyes off of that girl.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
She's not a beautiful woman.
What do you mean she's not a beautiful woman? She's not conventionally. Maybe not.
In the conventional sense.
There was something almost pornographically hot about her face.
What does that even mean?
Well, it means it's hard to look at her without. She's so beautiful, she's distracting.
But she is. She's redolent with attitude.
Oh, yeah.
If you've ever heard her. 3, 2, 1. If you've ever heard her in an interview, and you'll know that she thinks that most of what she does is BS. Most of this acting stuff. I love her attitude.
And you know, again, Russell gets this amazing performance out of this young girl who I didn't think was capable of that kind of depth.
Something about the movie too is when they do this dance scene at the end, and the way he shoots that scene, it was incredible. It was strange. I mean, I haven't watched a ton of dance movies. I've had to watch some, but the scene just seemed odd to me. The moving, the way they moved in the camera, where it was focused on during that.
Yeah, you just mentioned to me the other day, didn't you have a problem with the ending of Silver Linings?
Yeah, I do. But I think that's something that's good about it. I think when you watch a great movie, the whole time you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to figure out, how does this end? How's it going to end? Oh, I think this is going to happen. I think that's going to happen. And that's one of the great things you can do with your friends after, and everyone does, is talk about how it ended, what you would have changed. I didn't really like where he went with the ending. I think he wrote and directed this movie. Wasn't really happy with how it all closed off at the end, and the little narrative by Bradley Cooper that kind of explained to us what we may or may not have already known.
Right.
But at the same time, it has to end some way, and the fact that I'm not completely happy with the ending does not mean that I'm not completely happy with the movie.
And ultimately, it is a romantic comedy, and I think he earns that ending.
Yes. And that voiceover, that narration, is always a cheap trick.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says you didn't do what you should have done in the film if you have to explain it.
And that's what bugs me. I know why it's there, but that's why it bugs me so much, is because I know why it's there. It's one of those movies where, you know, like I said, my girl wanted to see it. I went to it with her, and I will always go see rom-coms with my girlfriend. But this is one everyone can enjoy. And when you go to something you're not particularly psyched about going to, whether it be the opera or the ballet, keep an open mind and look at it from a different light. Maybe you know that it's a rom-com and you're not going to like it, you don't think, because you've seen other rom-coms. Well, look at the shooting. Look at the way it's shot. The camera angles in this movie alone are enough to keep me occupied for the whole 2 hours.
It's a cut above by an extraordinarily talented director.
And let's wait to hear what you have to say about 21 and Up when it comes out next week.
What's that?
It's a Hangover producer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's give his artwork a plug too, real quick, and then we'll have a.
Tristan, you've certainly.
I just talked over you.
Tristan, you've certainly shown that you know something about movies. I'm going to have to see whether you know anything about art. So where are you hanging?
Oh, right now my paintings are hanging on High Street, corner of 8th and High, next to the Village Idiot at Commonwealth Sandwiches. And if you're going to go in there and check them out, even if you don't go in there and check them out, you should check out their art, which are their sandwiches. Their sandwiches are delicious. So stop in, grab a sandwich, and glance at the walls.
And then walk down here to the Gateway Film Center and see a movie.
Oh, my gosh. Where does that leave me?
That'd be perfect to end right now.